My name is Garland Robinson. The central theme of the Bible is Jesus Christ, Him crucified, buried in the tomb, and raised from the dead. The evidence that Jesus was really dead is overwhelming. We read in John the 19th chapter in verse 33 and 34, "But when they came to Jesus and saw that He was dead already, they brake not His legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced His side, and forthwith came there out blood and water." Seeing that Jesus was now dead, a good friend of his, Joseph of Arimathea, goes to Pilate and begs the body of Jesus that he may give it a proper burial. Pilate, though, wondered and was amazed. How could he be dead already? Death by crucifixion took days many times. How could he be dead already? And so Pilate sent a centurion to confirm, to see if Jesus really was dead. And in Mark chapter 15, verse 44 and 45, this centurion verified that indeed Jesus was dead. And so when Pilate learned that he was dead, he did release the body to Joseph, and Joseph took and buried it. But we learn that in 3 days, Jesus rose from the dead. And we have multiple evidences that indeed He was raised from the dead. There's the evidence of the grave clothes. We read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all of them say there was a certain place where the body was laid after it was wrapped in a new linen cloth. And then we read in John chapter 20 and verses 5 to 7, where it's revealed that these grave clothes were laying just as they were when wrapped around the body of Jesus in the tomb. We read in verses 5 and 7 about the word lying. In verse 6, the word lie. And it's the same Greek word. There says it means to be laid, be set, be appointed or laid up of one buried, of things that quietly cover some spot, of things put or set in any place, in reference to which we often use the word to stand. That is, Jesus was put down, laid down at one particular place. And so when the resurrection took place, the Lord simply passed through the clothes, leaving them where they were when occupied by His body. Peter, we read in Luke 24 and verse 12, beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves. And in John chapter 20 and verse 7, and the napkin that was about His head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Now that is a marvel. That is evidence that His body was not stolen. There were none that ransacked that sepulcher. It was not a strong mess as it would have been had someone stolen the body. Why in the world would anyone take time to unwrap the linen cloth from the body of Jesus and then leave the clothes behind? Even then, they weren't left in a pile or a heap. You remember in John the 11th chapter that Jesus stood before the tomb of His good friend Lazarus. And when He raised him from the dead, He told the disciples, unwind him or unwrap him from the linen clothes. In death, there was a big bowl of cloth wrapped around and around and around. We read in John 19, verse 39, that Nicodemus, again a follower of Jesus, had purchased 100 pounds of sticky spices, and those spices were used when they bound the burial cloth around Jesus. Can you imagine then 100 pounds of sticky spices all put on the body, wrapped in the wrapping, that linen cloth around and around? There's no way the body could have been unwrapped without leaving the wrappings or the linen cloth in a mess, in a pile. And yet that's not what the biblical record shows. That's not the evidence that we find there in that empty tomb. Why would anyone even think of doing such a thing? There's no way they could have unwrapped that body, then put all the clothes, that wrapping back in place, leaving them as if they had been occupied at one time. That's exactly the way the Bible describes it. So there's the evidence of the grave clothes. There's no way in the world that his disciples, nor his enemies, nor anyone would have been able to get past the guards, rolled away that massive stone that would have weighed as much as a ton and a half or 2 tons in weight, 3,000, 4,000-pound stone, gone into that sepulchre, took the time to unwrap the body. There's no way they should have done that or could have done that or would have done that. But it is evidence simply of his resurrection from the dead. They didn't go in and everything was gone, everything was missing. There was the wrappings, the clothes. And that shows, that is the evidence of the fact that he was raised from the dead. You know, there are though many that deny the resurrection, and they suggest all kinds of theories as to what actually happened. Again, they're groping at straws. They know one thing in their own mind, they're not going to believe that Jesus was divine. They do not accept that he was the holy and the only begotten Son of God. They cannot and they will not accept that. So they've got to come up with some silly alternative, some other suggestion as to what actually happened. There are some that say the disciples came to the wrong tomb, and they just thought that Jesus had been raised from the dead. We find in Luke 23:55 that when Mary came, it was before daylight. And so some suggest, well, it was still dark and they didn't know. But yet in Mark 15:47, the Bible says that when they had taken Jesus to be placed in the tomb, that Mary and others watched. They followed. They knew exactly where the tomb was. But yet that is so silly of an argument. Think about it. All the Jews would have had to have done is say, look, you went to the wrong tomb. Here's his tomb. Here's his body. They could have produced it, but they didn't even try to do that. Jesus rose from the dead. And then there are those who say the disciples were merely hallucinating. They just thought they saw Jesus alive. Well, of course, that's an assumption that is so ridiculous as well, just like coming to the wrong tomb. The Jews, again, could have just shown the body of Jesus. They said, look, here it is, here's the corpse, and you're wrong. But there were hundreds and hundreds of eyewitnesses, and they gave testimony to the fact that they saw Jesus, and that the Jews acknowledged that the tomb was empty. And so that certainly will dispel that theory. Then there are those who suggest the resurrection was merely a legend. Well, again, that's also a silly argument. A legend is that which grows and evolves over extended period of time. The events of the resurrection, the empty tomb, were immediate. Hundreds of witnesses verified its historical accuracy. As said already, the enemies of Jesus never denied the tomb was empty. No one denied it was empty. And also there was the fact that Joseph of Arimathea, he's mentioned as being the one who begged the body of Jesus, buried him in his own tomb. It verifies the Lord's death to be true. It wasn't a legend. And the fact the tomb was empty, that wasn't a legend. Joseph was a well-known rich man, probably a member of the Sanhedrin, according to Matthew 27:57. Nicodemus also is mentioned as helping Joseph. These were both well-known men in the community, respected individuals. They would not have shown their faces nor allowed their names to be used if the reports were not true. This was something that happened that very day. It did not evolve as a story over many, many years. And then besides that, there were many witnesses, eyewitnesses, that were still alive at the time the gospel was preached. It was preached in that very time. People knew it everywhere. Peter preached on Pentecost, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses." Acts 2:32. All of Jerusalem knew the tomb was empty. All of Jerusalem, the friends of Jesus, the enemies of Jesus, none denied the fact that the body was gone. No one stepped forward to disprove the resurrection from the dead. So Peter's appeal was not only to his fellow apostles, but to everyone that heard him as well. The people of Jerusalem were witness to the empty tomb. He says, we're all witnesses. And then some have suggested what they call a swoon theory. That means that Jesus didn't actually die, he just merely swooned. That is, he collapsed or fainted maybe passed out, and when taken down from the cross and placed in the cool of the tomb, that in a little while he revived. All four of the gospel records bear witness that he didn't just pass out. He was dead while hanging on the cross. You remember the Romans were experts concerning death, and certainly death by crucifixion. If anyone could tell if he was dead or not, certainly they could. So the Romans knew he was dead. You remember how the Jews asked if the legs of those who were crucified might be broken in order to hasten their death so they could be taken down from the cross because the Sabbath day was approaching? But when they came to Jesus, they noted that he was dead already. John 19, verse 33. And so a soldier pierced his side, jabbed. It wasn't just a little prick. He jabbed a spear into the side of Jesus and confirmed that he was dead. John 19:34 says, "And forthwith came there out blood and water." Not only did they believe Jesus was dead, Pilate sent and made sure that he was dead before he was taken down from the cross, and it was validated by a centurion that was on site. He confirmed that Jesus was indeed dead. Mark 15, verse 44 and 45. He was in a severe, weakened condition from the beating, the scourging. His hands and feet were torn by the spikes that were driven through them. A gash ripped through his side. The Lord was in no shape to revive in the cool of the tomb and free himself. His body, remember, was wrapped from head to toe, just as the body of Lazarus was. He couldn't have gotten out of those wraps. He could not have rolled away that great stone. He could not have gotten past the Roman guards. He couldn't have walked that same day nearly 7 miles to Emmaus and then walked back that same distance to meet with the disciples on that evening. He didn't merely faint on the cross and revive later in the tomb. He was raised from the dead. And he lives victorious even now. You know, so many so-called saviors of man, their bodies have decayed, their remains are in the dust in tombs around the world, but Jesus' tomb is empty. It's vacant. He arose from the dead, ascended back into heaven. Won't you obey him? Won't you believe him? That comes by believing in him, repenting of sins, confessing faith in Christ, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. You can obey him today if you truly believe. Won't you believe? Believe to the saving of your soul by obeying the truth.